1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." The devil's five-step plan to destroy you and destroy your family. This is going to be, I hope, very practical, very helpful. But I've got to start by laying a foundation, and that's what the message this morning is going to be. The devil wants to corrupt you. He wants to corrupt your heart. He wants to use internal corruption to defile your heart, and then he wants to destroy your life. He has a plan. And his plan involves addicting your inner man to some things. Then he will rewrite the attitudes of your heart. And in the end, he plans to change the course of your actions. He wants to change you on the outside, but first he wants to change you on the inside. And he knows that if he can corrupt the inside, eventually that'll come out on the outside. The devil has so many ways to accomplish his goal of internal corruption. But no matter which way he uses, the effect is the same. Internal corruption redefines who you are on the inside, and then it redefines how you look and behave on the outside. I'm not preaching a message to try to get you to look and behave a certain way on the outside. I'm preaching a message to hopefully protect your heart. Because if the devil can corrupt your heart, eventually what is on the outside will come from, well, it always happens, what is on the outside comes from what's on the inside, and eventually what's on the inside makes its way to the outside. Internal corruption comes in the form of a lie. The Bible says the devil is a liar. Jesus said it himself. He's a liar and the father of liars. So internal corruption will come to our heart as the form of a lie. This lie from the enemy is incredibly subtle because it's a spiritual lie. You can't see the effects right away of the work that the devil wants to do in your heart, of the corruption that he wants to happen. The corruption seems harmless, and it works silently behind the scenes. This corruption that the devil wants to use to corrupt your heart, it transforms from the inside out so that by the time you see the changes on the outside, it has already transformed you on the inside. And what I want to preach about this morning, we'll get to some more details over the next few messages, is something that the devil will use to change you. Change who you are, but he doesn't start on the outside. He starts in your heart. Internal corruption is like an infection. Have you ever had an infection that just continues to grow? I've got an infection that every once in a while I have to deal with, and it's happened twice at the very same time that one of our kids was being born. I can't explain it. I don't know if it's stress that causes it, like I have to deal with any stress, right? My wife should be getting the infection. But it's in my nose. And it'll happen. Sometimes I don't know what causes it, but it's happened a couple times. Twice when one of our kids was being born, and I'll get an infection that starts in my nose, and basically I'll just ignore it for a few days and just hope that it goes away. I remember the first time it happened, I did that. I ignored it. And my nose got bigger and bigger and redder and redder. People began calling me Rudolph, just to understand how it was looking. And I remember there's still pictures of me holding a brand new baby with a red nose because I didn't do anything about this infection. Infection will come in very small and you won't notice it right away, but over time, what is on the inside, the infection that is on the inside makes its way to the outside so that everybody can see it. Internal corruption works the same way. As it settles in, it changes how you think. It changes how you feel. It changes what you desire. And it does all that without you realizing it. Remember the first time I got that infection, I was trying to figure out what to do. We didn't have any type of insurance on the time. At the time, we just were getting established here in town, and we just didn't have anything. I remember going to a clinic. I remember waiting in that clinic. I don't know how long it was. It was a couple hours at least, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And I was in a pretty rough part of town, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And just thinking, if only somebody could do something about this. I finally got into the office. They looked at it and they said, we can't deal with that here. We're going to send you to another clinic across town. So I went to another clinic across town, and I waited and I waited and I waited. Finally, the doctor came in and he gave me some very powerful antibiotics in the form of a shot. I don't like shots, but he gave me, now thankfully he didn't give me the shot in my nose. I really appreciate that, but he did take out a knife and he lanced that infection. I won't tell you how nasty that was and the nastiness that came out of that. Well, maybe I will, because that woke you up and now you're listening again. No, I won't do that. But what started so small eventually turned into a problem that was changing the way I was thinking. Whenever you're in pain all the time, this is just a little thing, it's just a nose, right? But whenever you're in pain all the time, it changes the way you think, it changes the way you feel, it changes what you want to do. And internal corruption does the same thing, and I'll explain through the message how he does that. The devil has a way, or many ways actually, to numb you to the process of corruption. And I'm going to hold back on how he does that. I'm going to hold back on some of the details, because I want you to understand how he works, and I want you to understand the behind the scenes, and then once you understand what's happening, then we'll talk about some of the ways that he wants to get that corruption into our heart. But he wants to numb you. And if he numbs you, he knows he can get that corruption into your heart. The devil works a lot like a mosquito. I read a lot about a mosquito as I was getting ready for this. Did you know the first time a mosquito bites you, you don't develop a mosquito bite bump and it doesn't itch? No, you get one freebie, every one of us. You get a freebie mosquito bite where no itch develops. The mosquito can bite you, but the second time, now your body is going to release histamines or antihistamines. And it's going to release those to go fight against that foreign substance in your body. The first time, your body doesn't know what to do with it. The second time, it's ready for it. And a mosquito bite, as you know, it develops. And it begins to itch and all of that that happens there. Did you know that young children develop larger, you probably knew this, larger mosquito bites that itch more than adults do because their body is getting used to it. I read a study that says if you get enough mosquito bites, eventually they don't swell up and itch anymore. Sign me up for that one. No, don't do that. People have studied that. Let me tell you a little bit about the mosquito. And here's the interesting thing about the mosquito. You don't feel it biting you and sucking your blood until he's gone. How's he do that? Well, let me tell you, this is amazing. God's creation is, I love God's creation. But let me tell you a little bit about this little mosquito. They have antenna that can detect carbon dioxide. And we exhale carbon dioxide, so they use that to find us. They can also detect heat given off by warm-blooded animals and people. They can even detect lactic acid on our skin, which is a byproduct of muscular exertion. They've got three ways of finding us. They're going to find us. Then once they land, they have chemical receptors that find a likely spot to drill for blood by detecting heat and chemicals on our skin. They are amazing little creatures. They also have mechanoreceptors. I think I said that right. Mechanoreceptors that push gently against the skin to detect differences in resistance, and that difference in resistance in different places on your skin are going to indicate RDO. Somebody that's a science major is going to help me out with this. Arterioles. Did I say that right? Arterioles? The little arteries are arterioles and venules in certain spots, places where blood flows, all right? So they've got this advanced machinery that it taps on your skin. And as it taps on your skin, it finds the places where it's most likely to find blood. This is incredible. Then the mouth goes to work. It's a complex 7-piece set of devices. This is in the mosquito, okay? You're going to like mosquitoes after this. You're going to be like, wow, they're awesome. Now, I don't like them, but when you look at God's creation, you say, wow, that was incredible. A seven piece set of devices for doing a variety of jobs. One of those parts is a tube. A tube that allows the mosquito to secrete its saliva onto you. All right? Now that's pretty cool. It's really gross, but it's pretty cool. All right? Mosquito spit. And it spits that saliva out onto you, and the saliva contains a drug that acts like an anesthetic. So we don't know they're doing all that probing around on our skin. So the mosquito lands, it finds the right place to land, and it starts pushing and poking, but we don't feel it because it's already spit its little anesthetic on your skin. It's numbing you to what it's about to do. Meanwhile, the other parts begin an intricate pattern of coordinated movements that let them hack into your flesh. All right, we're picturing a little hypodermic needle. That is not the way the mosquito works. The mandibles on the edges are serrated on the tips like tiny steak knives to carve their way in to your skin. But you don't feel it because you're numb, because the mosquito spit on you already. Just below the surface, the whole package of nasty pointy parts bends and takes a 90-degree turn, and then the attack really begins. The set of needle-like parts, I'm glad I'm preaching this in the winter, not the summertime. Otherwise, we'd all be swatting, and we may have a few mosquitoes left over from summer in here. We'll see. I mean, the other parts, they start working. They randomly poke away anywhere between 12 and 18 times in just a few seconds. It's not actually looking for a venule or arterial just yet. It's indiscriminately poking around, trying to poke into anything in the area that might bleed. This thing's attacking you. It numbed you, and now it's inside, under your skin, attacking you, trying to make you bleed. The tube in the middle of their mouth assembly that does the spitting is actually two tubes in one. There's one tube inside the other tube. As the mosquito continues to spit out its anesthetic, the other tube, the bigger tube in the straw, is sucking in samples of fluid. It's checking you out, finding out what it's taking in. They're the only known creatures that can spit and suck at the same time. They're amazing. Through a little bitty straw, so small you can't even hardly see it. If they don't find blood, they draw their probing mouth parts back a little, not all the way out, and they dig into another spot. This process can last up to 2 minutes if somehow you remain unaware that the mosquito is there. And how does he do this? Well, he numbs you first. If an insect does taste blood, it turns on more powerful pumps in its mouth, increasing the suction on its drinking straw. And that draws on the tiny cloud of blood that's formed under your skin. The nearest venule or arterial, even if it's not the one already wounded, is pulled over to the needle-like tip of the whole apparatus where it's impaled. Isn't this awful? But we don't feel any of it. Why? Because we are numb to it. All right, where were we? Oh, yeah, we're impaled. Did you get that part? All right, so and it opens up a hole through which the mosquito starts to drink. The blood that it drinks carries protein. It's passed directly onto the eggs that it's carrying in its abdomen. Then the mosquito, this is amazing, it injects chemicals that act as vasodilators, expanding the blood vessel to increase the flow. This little mosquito's loaded with these chemicals. And then it injects anti-clotting chemicals to keep the tiny wound from sealing up before they're done. There's three chemicals coming out of this little guy. All right? Mixed in with these chemicals are parasites that the mosquitoes have picked up while feeding on other animals, often birds. The parasites are only hitching a ride and live in the mosquito's salivary glands, waiting for the bugs to do their thing on its next victim. When the insects squirt their chemical payload into our skin, out come the parasites, and that's how mosquitoes spread disease. I bet you wanted to know all of that this morning, didn't you? You're like, no. No, I did not want to know any of that. I would have been fine if you didn't say any of it. Look, we've all gotten mosquito bites. Now you know what happened. How come we don't notice them? Something that's doing all of that to me, don't you think I would notice that it's attacking me? No. Because it numbs you first. And that's exactly the way that the devil wants to put his corruption into your heart. He is going to do what he can to numb you first. He uses tools and devices. The Bible talks about the devil's devices. We'll talk more about those as we go forward. He uses tools and devices to deaden your spiritual senses and reprogram your heart with new attitudes. What a scary thought that somebody, Somebody as wicked as the devil and his minions, the enemy, as somebody as wicked as them could reprogram my heart? Absolutely. Once the corruption takes root in your heart, it can grow without being detected for months or even years. Satan's voices are disguised to seem harmless and enjoyable, but they can corrupt and reprogram your heart over time. They're like drugs or alcohol because they redefine reality as you see it. Except instead of altering your mind, they alter your heart. They change you in your inner man. They change your mind, your will, and your emotions. Satan wants to get into your heart, not to possess you, but he wants to be able to influence you. And he's got voices in this world. We'll look at our verse again this morning. He's got voices in this world that will speak in our world here. And he wants to use those voices to infiltrate your heart, your spiritual heart, not the part of you that pumps your blood and keeps your life going, but the seat of your mind and your will and your emotions, your inner man. That is, he wants to influence and change you where you think. He wants to change you where you want, and he wants to change you where you feel. He wants to change you from the inside out. The devil's corruption hides under the surface and leaves you wondering, what happened to that person? You ever notice somebody that you knew them a year or two ago and you know them now, but they're just not the same person? What happened? What happened to that young person that used to be so fun and enjoyable and full of life, but now when you talk to them, you just get one-word answers and confusion? You ask them, well, what's wrong? And the answer generally is, I don't know. And they're telling the truth because they just don't. If it happens to you, it'll leave you confused. If someone asks you what's wrong, you'll probably just say, I don't know. And you really don't, because you don't know what happened. The devil is so secretive at getting that corruption into our heart, and he disguises his devices so well, and he disguises the voices so well that we don't know what happened until he's already built a stronghold in our heart, and now he's attacking us from within. I hope to help you to understand before we get into this series just how important it is that we don't let him do that. Hopefully you're there. I want to start with two foundational truths about the spiritual battle. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that's where we're going to start. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's in verse number 18. I'm going to try to give you two truths and then a few just simple and quick lessons from our verse this morning that we read. I want you to see that I'm not just making this up. I want you to see the pattern. I want you to see how it works. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. First, you need to understand that the spiritual world is just as real as the world that you can see. Now, hopefully you found your place there, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but I want this phrase has got to settle in. Let me get back here so I want to read it just exactly the right way. First, you need to understand that the spiritual world is just as real as the world you can see. You know the world you can see is real. You can touch it. You can see it. In order for you to be able to avoid these spirits, these evil spirits, we'll talk about them in a moment, the voices the devil's going to use to try to influence you, in order to avoid the corruption, you've got to realize that the spiritual world is real. And not only is it real, some might say it's more real than what we can see. What we can see, yes, it's real, but it only lasts for a while. It's temporary, temporal. But what you can't see is eternal, and that lasts forever. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you look there with me, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There's a battle going on, and it's a battle that you can't see. It's a battle for your inner man. I'm going to use that word, that term, inner man, a lot. You can use it, you can say your heart. Sometimes people say their mind. Some of these words are interchangeable. The inner man, the part of you where your emotions live, the part of you where you think, the part of you where you make decisions, that's what the battle is for. And the devil wants to be able to put corruption inside your heart. the place that makes your thoughts and your desires and your feelings. It's a spiritual battle that you can't see on a battlefield that you can't see against enemies that you can't see. But just because you can't see any of this doesn't mean it's not real. You've got to understand this before you can protect yourself against what the devil wants to do. You've got to realize, as Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You've got to realize the spiritual world is just as real as the world that you can see. And it's a real battle. So it's not just the preacher up here making up stuff from the Bible or not from the Bible. This is real. If I'm not going to do this, but if I was to take turns and ask people, do you believe the spiritual battle is real? There's going to be a lot of people in this room that would say, absolutely, and here's why. And they'll be able to share the testimony with you of why they believe that spiritual battle is real. It's because you haven't seen it, just because you don't believe something unless you see it. You know, a lot of people have that philosophy. I don't believe it. If I can't see it, I don't believe it. Well, let me ask you this. How many of you have ever been to Australia? Okay, we've got one person here that's been to Australia. How many of you believe Australia is there? I believe it. I've never seen it, but I believe it. Why? Well, somebody told me about it. I learned about it. It's in a book. Just because you don't see God, just because you don't see the spiritual battle doesn't mean it's not real. It is real. And if you can understand that right here from the beginning, it's going to help you so much. Second, you need to realize that your spiritual enemy uses devices of the physical world to carry his message into your spiritual being. And I'll describe that later on in this series. The devil will use devices of this world to carry his voices, to carry his deceptive message into the part of you that is your spiritual being. He uses physical gateways and physical tools to penetrate into your spiritual heart. 2 Corinthians 2:11, the Bible says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The devil has devices. And he's going to use physical gateways and physical tools to penetrate your spiritual being, your heart, if we could say it that way. Recognizing the spirits and their method of destruction is really what I want to get at this morning. And I'm going to have to go quick. I'm not going to get through all of it because I want to spend the time on it. Go back to 1 John chapter 4, if you would. This is going to be a different type of a message, and probably several of them are going to be a little bit different in that there may not be a very clear ending point on some of them because it's so much to give you. I'll find an ending point at the right time and we'll get out of here in time and we won't miss lunch. Don't worry about that. But I want you to get this. This is so good. It's so important. Why do we have music in our service? Why do we have good music in our... Why don't we have a rock band in our service? There's some questions that I think we'll answer as we go in through this. Why do we need to be very careful of the entertainment that we watch? The magazines, the books that we read. Why do we need to be careful? Because the devil is going to use physical devices to get his message into our heart. Whether it's something we read, something we hear, something we're listening to. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. There are two kinds of spirits that speak in our world today. There are spirits that are of God, and there are spirits that are not of God. It's very clear, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. In verse 2, the Bible says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. So if you boil it down to its very basic teaching here, there are two spirits, and two types of spirits. Some of them are of God, and some of them are not of God. You've got to understand, we are in a spiritual battle. And as long as we live on this earth, we'll be bombarded with lies and deception from the spirits that are not of God. I'll come back and we'll talk about Nebuchadnezzar and his dreams that he had. We'll talk about those at a different time. The dreams that Nebuchadnezzar had are proof that there are more than one kind of spirit in this world. Some of the dreams that Nebuchadnezzar would get were from the demons that were influencing him at the time. And then a dream came to Nebuchadnezzar that was not from them, it was from God. And the magicians and the soothsayers and all the witchcraft, all the, those advisors that he had couldn't interpret the dream because it wasn't of those spirits. It was of a different spirit. So first of all, there's two kinds of spirits that speak in our world today. The second is this. We are of God. Look at chapter 4, verse 4. Christians, listen. Ye are of God, little children. This is amazing. This is awesome. There are some spirits that we should have nothing to do with because we are of God. These evil spirits intend to lead you astray. They have a plan to lie to you. Their ultimate goal is to destroy you. In fact, they destroy everything they can. But we are not of those spirits. In fact, the Bible says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There are two kinds of spirits in our world today. But we are of God, so there are spirits that we should not be allowing to influence us. You've got to understand this. Those spirits that want to influence you that are not of God want to destroy you. A lot of times we have this idea that and I don't know how we get this. Maybe just movies and TV have done this, that these spirits are just they're good, or they're kind of neutral, or white magic or Wicca or whatever you want to call it, and they're just not that bad. And we'll watch so many different movies about witches and all of that, and it just became common to us with Sabrina, right? She kind of made us think, oh, they're cute and funny, and you know, the Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and then you've got all these different shows and the different witches and things like that, and it gets us thinking that, well, these spirits maybe aren't that bad, but that's who we're talking about. The spirits that are not of God are spirits of destruction. It's not Bible-believing Christians and the spirit that we follow that are responsible for the killing of more than 59 million unborn babies since the late 60s. It's not God's spirit that is for that. And if you look at destruction, and if you look at that type of a thing through our history and realize that wasn't God that was for that, and look who stands for it, look who stands against it, you realize the spirits that are not of God are spirits of destruction. And they're the same, these same spirits. They're spirits of destruction, and I'm trying to do this without, I don't want to be the kind of preacher that's graphic, and I'm not trying to bring a crowd in by being a graphic preacher. But don't even think of it. The most heinous crimes done against the most innocent people, children and young people, that you can think of, that's the type of spirit that these spirits are, the spirits of destruction. We get this idea that no, it's not that bad. Spirit of God, spirit of the world. Well, you've got to understand, these spirits want to destroy you in a way like the most violent destruction that you can think of. That is who they are. It's not the Antichrist that will come during the tribulation, but it is the same spirit. He says the spirit of Antichrist, and he is already there. So there are two kinds of spirits that speak in our world today, the spirit of God and the spirits that are not of God. Then in verse 4, we see that we are of God. Also in verse 4, we see that God is greater than the other spirits. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Whenever you hear a message like this preached, understand those spirits are not things to fear. Ye are of God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God has overcome these spirits. They are not something to fear. They are something simply to be aware of and avoid. I don't have to fear these spirits. I have no reason to fear an evil spirit. I have no reason to fear these spirits of the world. I am of God. You are of God. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have overcome them. But I do need to avoid them, because they have a desire to destroy me. They have a desire to destroy you. In verse 5, we see the spirits of the world actually speak, and the world really hears them. And this is where we're going to be going with this series. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 5. They are of the world, talking about these other spirits. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. This is interesting. The spiritual beings that are the enemies of God actually have voices that can be heard in the physical realm. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. They have voices that are pleasant enough to listen to. They speak clearly, they speak physically. The world hears them, the world listens to them. The world absorbs what they're saying. The world physically understands and accepts their voices. But their destructive power is masked by something attractive that the world wants. What do you call something that masks something that is destructive? If I was to go fishing and I had a fishing hook and I was going to throw that into the water, I would mask it with something. I'd put something on that fishing hook that's attractive. Not necessarily to me, because I'm not going to be the one that bites the... Well, hopefully not the one that bites the hook. It has happened on accident. I don't want to be the one biting the hook. It's not for me, it's for the fish. I'm going to put something attractive on that hook, and I'm going to throw it in the water and hope a fish swims by and says, "Hey, that looks good." I don't know if the fish think that, really. They probably don't say, "Hey." That's probably the only thing I got wrong with that statement. I want a fish to swim by and see that, and see that it is attractive, and I want it to go to that hook, and I want it to bite it. The devil wants to destroy you. These spirits of the world, their goal is to destroy you, but they're going to hide their destructive power with something else so that we will bite, so that we will fall for it, so that we will be attracted to the destructive power. If we realize the destructive power that the spirits of this world have on us, we would stay away from it. But they hide it, and they hide it in something that we'll just call for now bait. Look at verse number 6. 1 John 4, 6. "We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." There are spirits in this world. There are spirits of God. There are spirits that are not of God. We are of God, the Bible says. So we ought to listen to a different source. There are spirits of truth, the Bible says, and spirits of error. We ought to listen to voices that are in agreement with the truth. The truth is the Word of God. In this world, we will be surrounded by voices of ungodly spirits that are speaking and being heard by the world. It's all around us. I promise you, if it was all around them in John's day, it's around us now. Spirits of the world and spirits of God, and these spirits that are of the world are speaking in voices, and they're trying to corrupt our hearts so they can destroy us, and it's all around us. But we are of God, and we should give our ears to a different voice. Now, it shouldn't shock you that the preacher is saying that a Christian ought to listen to something different than the rest of this world listens to. That shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't shock you that the preacher says that and tells you from the Bible that we ought to be different. The Bible says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing." There ought to be a difference between us. We ought not to be listening to the same spirits of this world that the rest of this unsaved world is listening to. There ought to be a difference. "Ye are of God. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and spirit of error." And lastly, spiritual voices speak to your heart. They speak to your heart. They get in through your eyes and through your ears, but they deliver their message to your heart. Don't underestimate the significance of evil spirits communicating with your heart. Why is that? Because your heart is the source of everything that is you. If an evil spirit, I'm calling them evil spirits and I'm freaking you out. When I say spirit of this world, you go, "Okay, good, we're back to comfortable." It's the same thing. When the spirit of this world speaks to your heart, if it can influence your heart is you. It's where your thoughts come from, your feelings come from, your desires come from. You've got to understand how important this is. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Everything in your life comes from your heart. And if the devil can corrupt your heart, he's going to corrupt you. Your heart is the control center of your mind, your will, and your emotions. That means everything you think, everything you desire, everything you feel comes from your heart. And if the devil can corrupt your heart, it's only a matter of time before he'll destroy your entire life. He will change you into someone that you don't recognize, and you won't even know that it happened. Now, I'm talking in pretty broad, I'm painting a pretty broad picture for you here. As we continue this series, I'm going to bring it down to a pinpoint, help you to understand what it is that the devil is using, the voices that he's using. How is he, what is the bait? For now, you just need to understand the fact of the matter of the battle and how he's trying to do that. You probably think, there's no way he could change me so that I don't recognize myself and don't even know that it happened. But that's exactly what will happen. He wants to build a stronghold in your heart and then use that stronghold to fight against you. He will destroy you from the inside out. You won't feel him. You won't hear him. You won't see him. You won't sense him. You just think you're listening to some harmless voices, but you're opening your heart to the destroyer. And the devil is more evil than any terrible person that's ever committed any horrendous crime against an innocent child. He'll use the voices that we're going to be learning about to bring about your destruction. And through these voices, he can literally influence, alter, and control your thoughts. He can influence, alter, and control your desires. He can influence, alter, and control your feelings. Have you ever known someone who's been driven to thoughts of self-destruction, desires towards self-violence, feelings of despair? Where's that come from? That's not natural. I promise that God didn't put those things in their heart. When somebody cuts themselves, it's not because God put that there. There's a voice that is speaking messages of corruption. And it's in our heart and it'll grow there over time. And then eventually it will come out to the outside. And that is the devil's process of corruption. And I'm going to detail that for you over the next several messages. And I want you to be aware of what those voices are so that you could avoid that. Are you listening to the voices of the spirits in this world? I want you to think. As you go about your daily routine, are you listening to the voices of the spirits of this world? I know you want to listen to the voice of God. You're here at church, you're here on a Sunday, and you've got a desire to listen to the voice of God. You probably read your Bible, and I hope you do, and you're at church this morning. But are you also listening to the voices that want to destroy you? Now, you got to realize you're not going to recognize them as being the destructive voices of spirits of evil because they disguise that so very well, and they disguise it as bait, but are you listening to the voices of the spirits of this world? Will you make a promise to God today? I'm not telling you all the details of where we're going with this. You probably can figure it out. If you're a discerning person and you've grown some in maturity as a Christian, you can probably figure out a little bit where we're going with this. But even before we get there, will you make a promise to God that you'll remove those voices from your life as soon as God reveals them to you? That's the decision I'm asking you to make this morning. Would you make a promise to God? God, whenever, if you reveal that I'm listening to voices of spirits of this world, God, if I am and you reveal that to me, I will remove that voice from my influence. I'll remove that voice from my life. I'm asking you to do something big. I'm asking you to make a promise to God based on a principle without fleshing out all the details. That's the way God wants to do it. Now look, God could have, in the Bible, told us every single temptation that we would ever face. And then we would look at the Bible and say, okay, I will say no to that temptation, say no to that temptation, and go through the entire list of temptations that we would ever face and say, okay, God, I will stay away from all of those things. But he didn't do that. He gave us the principles. And he told us, you stay away from these things and these types of temptations. He didn't give us all the details. He just said, you just flee fornication. Flee youthful lust. That type of a thing. So what I'm asking you to do this morning is say, God, I will make a promise to you that when you reveal these voices of influence to me, these voices, if I have these voices of the spirit of the world, and if they are speaking to me, and if I am allowing them to speak to me, God, I will remove them as soon as I know about them, if you will reveal them to me. Now maybe he's revealed some of them to you just through this message this morning. Maybe just as you hear the Word of God preached this morning, as you hear the message preached this morning, you can think about it and you can say, that is an influence that is definitely a destructive influence in my life. When I'm around that person, my attitude changes for the worse. When I listen to that music, my attitude changes for the worse. Whenever I do this, my respect for my parents goes down. You can see some of that. You can look at it. And as God puts that on your heart, just realize that is one of the voices that I've got to remove. And I've got to ask God to help me to remove that. Don't allow the spirits of this world to corrupt you for even one more day. If they are, decide to stop listening to them immediately and ask God to begin cleaning out your heart. Create in me, David said it, create in me a clean heart, O God. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. I know what you're thinking. I said this in Sunday school. Pastor Reyes has been following me around this week. He's been watching what I've been allowing into my mind, and he's been watching those movies over my back, and he's been listening to the music I've been listening to, and he's been looking at the magazines I'm reading and the books that I'm reading. And how does he know? No, I don't. I'll tell you what. God has used this message to convict me as well. It's not the pastor saying, you are wrong. It's the pastor saying, let's open up the Bible and see where we are wrong. Now, you may not. There may not be any type of the voices of the spirits of this world that you're allowing to influence you, and that's a good thing. But if there is, would you simply make a decision today and tell God, God, I will remove them. If you will show in my life where I'm being influenced by the spirits of this world, God, I will remove that. We'll spend several messages. We'll be talking about what the spirits of this world are. I'm going to show you the process. It's a 5-step process on how the devil works and how he will begin by infiltrating your heart, and that will lead eventually to your destruction. That's the series. It'll help you. But first, you've got to make a decision. God, I will decide. And God, I decide this morning, and I'm making a commitment to you this morning that if I'm listening to those voices, or if you reveal that I am, I don't know that I am right now, but God, if you reveal that I am, I will remove those voices from my life with your help. Father, thank you for letting us be in church this morning. And Lord, I believe you put this message on my heart because you want to protect your people. And some of your people are struggling, and I know just looking around that so many people in the world are struggling because of these voices of the world. The spirits of this world want to destroy Christians. They want to destroy our influence. They want to destroy our lives. They want to destroy our testimony. And Lord, I pray that this morning we'd make this decision. And we would, as you reveal, if you reveal in our lives that there is a spirit of this world that we are listening to, God, that we would remove that. We would remove the influence. We would remove whatever it was that attracted us to that spirit. And Lord, I pray that you just work in our hearts this morning. And I pray that we would make some very heart-level decisions this morning that would influence the rest of our lives.